So reading today from Jeremiah 31:31-34 and Luke 22:20. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with your forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now to Luke 22:20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Today we're thinking about that new promise, that new covenant. But before we do that, I think we've got to think about, well, what was the position? What was happening before the new covenant, before that new promise? What was the old covenant? In the Old Testament, we read how God chose a people to be his people. He gave them the law. It was rules about how they should live in connection with each other and with him. They were called to be a holy nation, totally committed to God and to obey the law. And in return, God would bless them, he would be with them, and he would be their God. That relationship between God and his people was based on obedience of the law. And that was the old covenant, that was the old promise. But there is a problem, there is a big problem with that. Now then, I need some people to help me. So some of the young people want to come? I need about three people. Someone to come up and help me? Ashley, do you want to come up and help me? Anyone else want to help? Actually, before the service, Ian Bridges was complaining that he doesn't get the chance to do this sort of thing. So Ian, would you like to come up and help? Do you want to come? It's quite simple. I've just got a little quiz for you. And if you... you get a chocolate bar. I'll put the bar there so you can see it. And I'm going to ask you three questions. Okay? If you get them all right, you can have the chocolate bar. We'll deal with that when we come to that problem, shall we? Okay, I'm going to start with you. Are you good at maths?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Here's your first question. What is 1 + 1?
2.
Very good. Good so far. Second question. What is 2 × 2?
4.
Very good. You've just got to get one more right. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
What is the square root of 289? No cheating there. Are you? Do you know? It's 17. Never mind. Do you want to sit down? I'm afraid you can't get the chocolate. You didn't get all the answers right. Ashley, you're next. Are you good at world leaders? Okay, it's an easy one. Who's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom? Theresa May, very good. Who's the President of North America? Donald Trump. It's easy, isn't it? Last one. If you get this right, who is the President of Iceland? Don't you know? It's Guðni Thorleifur Jóhannesson. Sorry, can't get a chart. You have to sit down. Ian, capital cities. You good at capital cities?
No.
Okay, let's have a go. What's the capital city of the United Kingdom?
London.
Very good. What's the capital city of France? It's not a trick question. Yeah, correct. Just one more to go. What's the capital city of Madagascar? Ooh. It's an island off Africa. No, cheating.
Bali?
No, it's Antananarivo.
Oh.
Sorry, sit down. No, sir. So in our quiz, to get the chocolate, you had to get all the answers right. And there was a consequence if you didn't get them right. And that consequence was no chocolate. And it was the same for God's people. They had to perfectly obey the rules that God had set them. They had to be completely holy to be acceptable to God, to have that relationship, that friendship with Him. But they failed. And they were reminded constantly of their failure by the fact that they were constantly having to make sacrifices, animal sacrifices, to try and be forgiven. And they happened month after month, year after year. But they were never really good enough. And the consequence was that the relationship, their friendship with God, was broken because they couldn't live up to the law. So where did that leave them? Where did that leave God's people? Where does that leave us if we are trying to be acceptable to God, if we are trying to be pleasing to God by being obedient, by living a good life? I want us to look at a film clip. Has anyone seen a film called Saving Private Ryan? It seems Saving Private Ryan. It's a film, it's set in the Second World War. And there's a soldier called Private Ryan. And he comes from a family and they've got several brothers. And they are all in the war. And it gets back to the command of the American army, because it's American people, that all his brothers have been killed in the war. And they don't think it's right that this last soldier is put into danger of being killed. And so a group of people commanded by, I don't know the name in the film, but it's played by Tom Hanks. And they had to go into Europe, and they're going across Europe, and they're trying to find this chap, Private Ryan, to pull him out of the war and to safely get him back home. And in the process of doing that, all that group of people are killed. But Private Ryan is saved. And we're going to look at the clip from the point where everything's okay, except that Tom Hanks, in his dying breath, says something to Private Ryan. And then it moves into the future. So just try and listen. What is Private Ryan told? And what does he feel like as he goes into the future? Bit before. Sorry, we need to go back a bit because we want to see what is said to Private Ryan.
George C. Marshall, General, Chief of Staff.
All right, Nikki, we'll just go from that point. What happens is that Tom Hanks, he's been wounded, he's dying, and Private Ryan is standing over him, and all this group of people have died to save him. And Tom Hanks reaches up and he grabs and he pulls him close to his ear, and he says, "Earn it." He says, "What?" And he says, "Earn it." And then he dies. And we get to that point where Tom Hanks is just thinking about what has been said to him.
C. Marshall, General, Chief of Staff.
Tom Hanks, or at least the actor, the person.
My family is with me today. They wanted to come with me. To be honest with you, I wasn't sure how I'd feel coming back here. Every day, I think about what you said to me that day on the bridge. I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me.
James. Captain John H. Miller.
So what I've told you, what he said, Tom Hanks said to him, "Earn it, earn it, earn the fact that we've died to make sure you lived through the war." How did that make Private Ryan feel? Did he look a happy man? Did he look a happy man? To me, that was a burden that had been put on him. And he says, "Every day I've thought about what you've said, and I've had to try and earn what you did for me." It was a weight on him. And at the end, when he's much older, he's having to ask his wife, "Have I been a good man? Have I earned what those people did for me?" He was never really sure that he'd actually earned what they'd done. And it's the same for God's people when they were told to obey the law. The law was a burden on them. It was something they had to try and do in their own strength to try and please God. And it was a weight of them, and they failed. And they were never really sure. And it's the same for us. If we are trying by our own strength to please God, to try and become friends with him by what we do, it's a weight, it's a burden. We'll never be sure, we will fail, and we'll feel guilty. But that is not what God wants for us. He loves us, and he wants to be friends with us. He wants to be in relationship to us. So what does God do? Well, at last, we come to it. God's solution is the new promise, the new covenant. Well, what is that? What is the new covenant? Well, the new promise is fulfilled by Jesus. It's fulfilled by his death on the cross, by his sacrifice. And as our short reading from the New Testament said, by the spilling of his blood of the new covenant. The new promise is that when we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven. And all our wrongs, all our failings are wiped away by his perfect and once for all sacrifice. Our relationship, our friendship, our acceptance by God no longer depends on what we do or how we behave. It depends on what Jesus has perfectly done forever. The burden has fallen off us and we are free. That's the new promise. When we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And in the words of our reading, the law, what we have to do, is written on our hearts. And we don't try and obey God by our own strength. And by this, God has demonstrated his unconditional love for us. Right, those three people that helped me, do you want to come back up? See, under the new covenant, under the new promise, you don't have to get all the answers right to win the prize. So, you can have the chocolate. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to share it out? No, that's rubbish. That's rubbish. God is graceful. You don't have to share it out. Wow. You each have your chocolate. This is the new promise, the new covenant. The burden of having to get it all right is taken away. And you have your prize. You have your relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. You want to sit down?
Thank you.
Just finally. Don't get me wrong. The law, obedience to God, they had not gone. The law wasn't a mistake by God. It wasn't plan A which went wrong. The law, in some ways, directed us, drove us to plan B, the second covenant. We still obey and try to please God, not to be accepted, but because we are accepted by God through Jesus. And we fail sometimes, but we can rely on that perfect sacrifice that Jesus made, always, once and for all. And the burden the guilt of having to try and please God has gone because of that new promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your plans from of old, from the Old Testament, that you knew that your people, that we could not obey the law and be perfectly holy to be with you. And thank you that you arranged a new promise through Jesus our Lord. And that we have friendship, forgiveness, and relationship with you because of what Jesus has done. Amen.